You're listening to
How Yoshi Did It
Podcast with Yoshi Obayashi.
Don't you ever all be sad. Lean on me when times get bad. When the day come and I know you die in a river of trouble, you're about to drown. Hold on, I'm coming.
All right, here we go. I'm in Dublin, everyone. And I am about, I don't know, 6-7 hours away from flying back to Amsterdam. So I'm here with my good friend and final appearance in my podcast, Brandon Iron. Brandon.
Hi.
Thanks for doing it. It's been a very fun and eventful 3 days. Thanks for inviting. And, you know, we only have probably about an hour or so. But anyway, thanks for inviting me, and I had a good time. And how has it been? I mean, last time I saw you, August. Was it July or August?
Yeah, just at the beginning there. It left sunny California to come to rainy, cold, windy Ireland. And as you've experienced, we went up to Belfast for a day, and we experienced some snow, and our lives are parallel to the Titanic. They are just sinking fast.
This is how cheap I am. Like, we get there, 17 pounds, what was it, like $25 to go in, right?
Right.
Like, fuck. I would like to check it out, but it's not worth $25. So we ended up having nice tea and hanging out at Belfast. But I'm glad I went there because we're kind of like amateur historian buff. We like history and culture, and we basically went through that sectarian violence, a.k.a. Protestant versus Catholic in the Northern Ireland. So we took the, what is it, black
taxi tour.
Yeah.
Highly recommended if you visit Belfast.
It's excellent. And as a kid, I remember reading, occasional violent event in Northern Ireland. But it really is different when you actually take a tour. And the guy who drove us, it's a very common name in Northern Ireland, but Paddy, he was outstanding. I mean, the way he spoke to us, whenever he pulled over, he'll get back at a taxi and give us a really personalized story. And I think I missed this part. Didn't you tell me, like, one of his brother got murdered?
Yeah, that's what he started off. He was living in Manchester, and in the 70s, a relative of his passed away in a bombing. So talk about a fucked up way to go.
And that was your second time going through the tour, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'd done it before, but it makes me realize that every day you're not petrol bombed is a good day.
And it was really interesting to see those murals. I mean, they're beautiful, but also political statement. And of course, we're obviously you work in porno business, so people are more visual. They love to see visual, and like it really does move you. Like, you see the pictures of people who got murdered or killed, and of course you have names imprint against the wall, and the walls, you know, they were saying that the Berlin Wall lasted 20 years, but I mean 40 plus years still.
Gigantic peace wall separating Catholics and Protestants, and you just gotta wonder. It's like California and porn is all about sex, and in Belfast it's all about violence, you know, sex and death, two main forces just compete. I'll take the sex over the death anytime.
So I'm glad I went. You know, it's a very somber tour. We were even standing in front of the office. Why am I forgetting that?
Sinn Féin,
yeah. And it is very strange because for years I've read about them. Good Friday Agreement with Senator George Mitchell. I mean, highly respect the senator. I think Minnesota? I can't remember. Wisconsin? I can't remember. But I had a good time. We got back in Dublin. And what's it like for you as a Canadian? Is there any similarity between the... I mean, the weather is, I'm sure, is a bit similar.
Yeah, just balls shrinking, or they're retreating back into your body cavity. Bone-chilling, cold weather. Not for me. anyone out there within, you know, if you hear my voice, come save me, please. I'm being held against my will in a rainy, cold, hostile environment that's killing me and shrinking my dick.
Speaking of your dick, have you even thought about, is it illegal to film porn in Dublin?
I don't know. I haven't actually checked it out, but it would not fly here. There's too much, or if it is, it's very so far under the radar. There's probably girls that do camming here, but yeah. To the best of my knowledge, there's no sex industry per se. There's no strip clubs. There's no. It's very Catholic influenced laws and mentality, and yeah. It's like you're in a time capsule and you traveled back 100 years.
And didn't you tell me you met a group of kids? Well, we call them kids, but they just run up. One of the guys run up to you and say, "Hey, are you Brandon Iron?"
Yeah, that was my introduction to Dublin back when I got here, you know, way back when on a visit. But yeah, in what's become my adopted home, there are porn fans out there, but these guys are like 20 years old. They've never joined a site. They freely admit they get everything off of, you know, tubes and torrents, and it's just funny because, you know, it's like being YouTube famous without the YouTube money. Even yeah. It's just everyone sort of has exposed, you know, to the work in their own way. But you know, also me, I'm turning 48 this year, and it just starts to. You know, you show your own age and just how people consume media differently now than...
It's so different. Yeah. I mean, I was watching, like, episode of Dawson's Creek, like, a couple months ago. You know, that's, like, late 90s, and both of the main characters who work in a video store, you know? And it's not, like... It's not quite 20 years, but, you know, it's not that long ago, but that business is gone, you know? I mean... In that episode, they didn't even have DVDs, you know. So it's amazing how quickly things could go well or bad, you know. And I feel like dinosaur because I've been out of the business for 4 years, but boy, it's changed, and people always figure out new ways to consume these products, you know.
Well, that's the thing too. It's been maybe about a week or so since David Bowie's passing.
Yeah.
And I watched this documentary on him, and it was just fascinating how he reinvented himself in every decade, in every era. He made himself relevant. And again, it's just that time's passing, and you realize if you're a one-trick pony, or if, you know, even as a guy, if you realize, oh my God, you know, you're yesterday's baked goods, or you're been on the shelf too long, or you just realize like things, you don't realize that all the glory and wonder that you had it when it was your time in the sun, I guess is what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah, I mean when I started working for Evil Angel early on, I thought it would never end. I thought this is a perfect job. I, you know, it's fun. I watch naked people all day, and I thought the good time will never end, but it always does.
Yeah.
But new beginning, new fun, also it can start. You know, you just gotta, like, the David Bowie thing is a very good example. Like, I guess you need to learn to reinvent yourself and, you know, change with times, I guess.
I tried my best stab at getting the get rich quickest thing with the Powerball. Again, if you're within earshot of my voice, please, internet gods, you found ways to rip off movies, TV, music. Can we at least buy Powerball tickets anywhere on Earth? Please, take my money.
Oh, because they have restrictions, like you have only to be U.S. citizen?
Yeah, only two states, Illinois and Georgia, allow you to buy Powerball tickets online. And that's just criminal. And I guess California has some... sort of like service that'll they'll do it for you and all, but come on, internet people, get with it. Let's have it so that everyone has an equal chance of
losing the money.
Yeah, losing their money. But yeah.
So it's really you know, this is my first trip to Dublin. I'm you know, this Paddy Power's legal sports betting. I'm shocked they're allowed to do that because heavily Catholic country, you know. I thought they're going to be very strict on that, but that's legal. Great. I love the fact that that's legal. Like you were saying, sex business, not so much of it. But there is. It's just more hidden, obviously, right?
Right. And, you know, I'm all for equality of the vices. Let the perverts like me have, indulge in their own. You know, we need more flesh pots. We need more brothels. We need more. Just open up the gates. Let's live in, you know, 2016 finally everywhere. It's just, I feel like I'm at a bad porno where the nuns are running the Catholic schools, but nobody gets naughty. Everyone's just whacking knuckles with rulers, and, you know, I don't even know what I'm saying here, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If you live in California, pot's legal. It's the home of porn and all that stuff, and it's like you live on a different planet, and I'm trying to see the bright side of it, but the sun won't come out here, so it's just like the dark side of the moon here.
And I have to say, you're such a good friend. You could have left for Germany tomorrow, right?
Right.
Because
because
I've talked about this on Tom Segura and Christina Fizensky's podcast called Your Mom's House. There's going to be Bukkake and Piss event in Bremen, Germany tomorrow.
Yeah, Bremen. John Thompson does these events every month or two, and yeah, that would have been my big escape. And thanks to cheap flights, you can fly there for like €20 or whatever. But again, you know, you got to indulge in your kink wherever you can get it. And
yeah,
I am fascinated by women who just will drink a stranger's piss. And again, that's maybe the last frontier for me, because I don't know if I can't think of anything. I'm sure there are worse things, but I just think piss drinkers are a class unto themselves.
Are they legal in that retail stores in the States, or are they?
I've seen them in New York. Well, mind you, it's been a few years, but I just remember that. I forget if it's 8th Avenue or some off Times Square. But they had scat, bestiality, just the craziest stuff. So, you know, the pee stuff. I sort of was never into that per se, but I did attend one of these German Goo Girl events. And again, you know, I'm all for guzzling some water, and just if somebody's thirsty.
When was that?
Oh, I'll just say a year ago or so.
I see.
I went twice, and, you know, it's just sort of a break from reality. I think everybody needs that mental vacation, or
sure,
just to experience something and feel like you're walking on the wild side.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I am curious, what was your experience like? Because people have asked me, but I told them, like, I've never been to one. I've seen the movies. I went to Your Mom's House podcast, and I told them, like, if you want to go, I could recommend you to go certain dates this year for the GGG event. And, you know, if you just want to watch, you have to pay €250, if I remember right.
Right.
And if you want to participate, just got to get health, you know, documentation proving that you're, relatively speaking, healthy and, you know, at least physically healthy. Mentally, I'm not so sure about that. But you went, and would you mind explaining, like, so what's, like, how many people are there?
Well, this was in Berlin, and it would be on a Saturday, so you go at about 11 in the morning, and then you get, you know, they check all your paperwork and they do your IDs, and you get a t-shirt and you'll get a wristband, and then you go sit around and they'll parade out the girls. There'd be like 8 to 10 girls, and they all guzzle cum and they drink piss, and there's somebody for everybody's taste. There's, you know, maybe some bigger girls, petite girls, younger, older, whatever. Anyway, it's just this flesh circus, and they'll have one or two girls in alternating rooms, and you just wander back and forth. You snack on it. Nothing makes you feel so good to be a man as when you're just in these things and you realize, you know, this girl might suck you off, this, you can jack off into this girl's mouth. It's just this real free sort of feeling. But it was also an ego boost, because, you know, several guys, they travel from different countries too, and this guy goes, hey, are you Brandon Iyer? What the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah.
And it just feels good to say, I'm a fan too, a fan of the game. You know, not that I rose so high or whatever, but just I indulged my fun time back when I was, you know, able to make a living at it, and then life changes and you go in different directions. But sure. It doesn't mean I have any less passion for the game. I love it, you know. Yeah. Anything that's well done or whatever. So which brings us to this German actress for GGG named Amy. So she's maybe a buck five, you know, 105 pounds, soaking wet, which she was because she was drenched in piss. But I worked with her, I can't say I worked with her. I pissed in her mouth and she swallowed it. And it was just like this hollow leg of piss consumption. And nothing kills your porno crush as not, you know, I saw her a few months later. Then the next time I attended was, say, like 4 months later at the next event. She was there again, but she obviously didn't remember me. But I guess...
Did she remember the taste when you pissed on her again?
Well, I don't know, but she was very angry. And in German, she let it quite known after they cut. She's like, stared me down like she was possessed. And she just said, which somebody translated to me, that you're... piss tastes horrible. So,
well, what are they supposed to taste like?
I don't know. I drank as much water as I could, but I swear I didn't have any asparagus. I don't know what the issue was, but that porno romance came quickly to a golden guzzling end.
Didn't you tell me they also reward you casino chips or something if you do something right during the shoot?
Yeah, you're the way it's supposed to work is every time you piss or cum, you get a poker chip, and you exchange those for like 20 euros.
Yeah.
After then, because you know a test, I forget that the test will cost you about 60 euros. So it's sort of a way that you can pay for part of your trip expense, or like a lot of guys come in from England or different countries, so it helps offset costs. Sure. But they do run out of chips too, so you know you can't rely on that. But some guys do quite well, and if you're able to function at a high level, you can you know earn some coin that day. But
And didn't you tell me Thompson? Is that John Thompson?
Yeah, that's
his German guy, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
And he has X amount of reliable guys that are ready to do the heavy load.
Oh, they got the ringer. They got some of the best performers in Europe. Because, you know, again, imagine the pressure if there's, you know, like 40, 50 guys standing around and, you know, only one guy's going to fuck her. And then the rest, you know, it's a big crowded, slippery sort of set.
Yeah.
And back when it was shot in Berlin, there was this, one of the rooms was this shower room. So it was a big tub in the middle. So I just remember just being fascinated, seeing two girls sort of go back to back, and you could just, they're just piss drinking goddesses in a porcelain, you know, bathtub there. Just, oh, mouths open like baby birds waiting to be fed.
And are these girls are German girls or East Europeans?
Well, it's funny. Yeah, most are German, to my understanding, or at least they understand German. But I guess they get some guests. They have some Czech models. I know Annie Black Fox has worked for them, and I believe she's Czech. But you know, it's very high level, dirty, anything goes. So they need some real kinky girls that'll be up for it.
So I don't want to get in detail, but you moved to Dublin for personal reasons, and I could respect that. Has it been tough to kind of cut yourself from adult business, or, I mean, if you have to, do you go back? And like what? And if you do go back, what do you do in your situation? Like, do you just fly into Eastern Europe?
You know what? I live my dream life for so long that's who I became as who I identified as.
Yeah.
And now at this stage in life, I think everyone comes to a crossroads where you got to look yourself in the mirror and find out who you really are. And I don't know who that person is. I look in a mirror and I just see this aging, balding weirdo, and he didn't grow up. He's a Peter Pan who's turning 48 years old, and you know, that's scary on the one hand, but it's exciting too, because
yeah.
I don't think I'd want to be the same person with the same job throughout his whole life, even if it is your dream job.
Sure.
You know, who knows? Who's to say you can't be equally happy doing other things? But yeah, I'm living life on different terms, and I became a dad, and that sort of, you know, means the world to me now, in that I didn't know if I'd have the opportunity to be one, so I want to try and give it a go and
sure.
give it 100%, because right. I think everything else I've tried in my life, you know, I've failed at many things, but you know, you can sort of come to terms with yourself and redefine your own meaning of success or what that means to you. So
sure.
again, I want to be a good dad to somebody. That's all.
And I saw very little of your daughter because you know, she had to go to school or preschool, whatever, and you know, and I stay up late, whatnot. But what little I saw, I 100% guarantee you really dedicate your life to her. And it's not that I wouldn't say it's surprising, but you know, just a lot of my friends, I never thought many of them is going to be a father, you know, but it's for vast majority, it really is cliche, but it was good thing for many of them. You know, I can't even think a situation where it was bad. Maybe one of the guy perhaps getting divorced, but other than that, all their relationship with their kids are just fantastic. Right. Surprising, because a lot of my friends are just like meatheads like myself. So is that the experience for, was it surprising, or you thought like, oh, when I have a kid, I knew it's going to be fantastic and exciting?
I didn't think I'd have the opportunity. So like I say, I just go with it, yeah. give it 100%, and you got to just force yourself to think differently or make sure. different priorities. And I don't know, you know, it's like, God, what was that show? Intervention in yeah. the States. I've never had a problem with alcohol, but I understand people with addiction issues, because I guess in some ways, like a sex addiction might be the same chemical reaction in your brain or whatever it is. So I really feel for anybody that, you know, feels under the control sure. of a substance, of this or that. So I get it, or at least I like to think I can. So the most liberating thing is if you can free your mind or just say, okay, there's a bigger world out there, or there's a higher purpose, or even if you don't know
yeah.
what's down the road, just you take that fork. Like, what did Yogi Berra say? When you come to a fork in the road, take it.
Yeah.
So I'm
but you know, I always find person like you and my several other friends of mine in a weird spot, because I guess you could call it sex addiction, but if you're making a living of it, you're in a murky water, because some guys are into violence, but if they have to be good at beating people in mixed martial art, maybe they have an anger issue, but because it's a profession, they make a living, they're good at it. You know what I mean? It's like, is that a problem or gambling problem? Like, if you're a professional poker player and you have to be good and win a lot of money, do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're good at it, I don't know. Is it still a problem? You know what I mean? Like, it just right. seems like if you have success in something that might be horrible for you, but you just happen to be good at it, people overlook that. It's only a problem if you're not good at it.
True.
Or make a living out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I look at guys like Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Messier, and Ronaldo. You know, who else could I think? Barry Bonds and Derek Jeter. All this athlete. I think they have a competition addiction. That might lead some of them to be assholes. In fact, I know some of the people that I just mentioned most likely an assholes. But once again, if you're successful and you make a living out of it, you're kind of exempt from that, you know? And the reason, you're very hard on yourself, but most men dream they could make a living out of it. And no matter how hard you are on yourself, you made a living out of it for years. And most guys, believe me, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people wish they could have made a living as long as you've done it. And many, many people cannot do it. Not for even sure. one time.
For sure.
You got to give that to yourself. You know what I mean? Like, believe me, I've been to shoots believe me, you know? So that's why it's you're in a, like a really weird spot, you know?
Yeah, but again, everything in life is timing, you know? If you're in the right place at the right time and, you know, being smart enough to know when your time is there or whatever. But I guess what my takeaway from, say, you know, a decade and a half of just living in a playground of non-reality is just take that passion and what's that thing from Flashdance, a song? Or is it Fame? No, Flashdance. Take your passion and make it happen.
Yeah.
So I still keep the same passion and you just say, what would happen if I put that energy into something else? And again, we'll. It's okay not to know, and it's okay to read a book or to pursue other interests,
sure.
And just to find, you know, there's some guys who are really jacks of all trades, or they can do multiple things at high level. I'm not one of those guys. I like to try and focus on one thing, and to my own detriment, like, you know, that consumes me for a short time, or you try and make things go. But anyway, to be less long-winded about it, it's just not knowing is everything now, you know?
Yeah.
Every day is what you can make it, and you just, like, again, it's a weekday, and you and I don't have 9-to-5 jobs. We went, and you see Belfast. There you go. That I consider that a win.
Yes. So here we are. I got the feeling that you're not coming back to visit USA anytime soon.
No.
And you're going to be Dublin. So two questions. One, if you do decide to go back, this is just a hypothetical question. If you do decide to go back and if you're not going back to the States, what would someone in your position, similar situation, how do they go back into business? Just to go to Budapest and just film and put stuff on a website?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's the business is definitely different than when I started in it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that much different then too, because Prague's a sex capital. Budapest is a sex capital. You just network with agents. They have Russian girls being flown in from St. Petersburg, and you know, it's very
because they illegalize shooting porn in Russia.
Right, right.
I don't understand that.
There's also, like, you know, I think Barcelona, they have crews there for big networks and all. So yeah, there's still an international thing. The bigger challenge is how do you make money? How do you monetize? How do you get your investment back on the content? And you know, again, there's smarter people than you and I who are higher up the food chain that know how to make that happen. But
because I remember listening to recently Joe Rogan talking to my friend Tom Segura, who happened to have that podcast Your Mom's House, which I love doing a lot. And I guess it was Joe who said, paraphrasing him, like, he doesn't understand why there's a need to make new porn when there's millions of porn that have been made in past that there's not one single person could possibly watch every one of them. And why would there's a need for the new? And only thing I could think about is it's very strange, but some of these guys, I think some of them is delusional enough, like they would like to meet that girl hoping there is a chance with her. So I don't know, I guess some people don't want to watch a movie that is porn girl that's deceased, you know. I mean, what do you think? Do you understand the kid's nature of his questions? Like
I get it that there's such a nicheification of the business now that if you go on the torrents, I'm a big fan of Riley Reid. I appreciate her work. I think she's a kick-ass performer, and it's real. It strikes me as real. You know, she's a genuine pleaser. She's a genuine, you know, she enjoys her job. But that's the beauty of the torrents. You type in Riley Reid, and you can get all her scenes from every, you know, every company who shot her. There are Uber fans out there that make cum shot compilations of just her, you know. So it's so weird. Like, it's like people who scrapbook for a living. There's such a detailed fan worship of some of these girls, and to the detriment of thousands of others. There's only going to be one Riley Reid. There's this one girl here, and you know, it can take years to be an overnight sensation.
Sure.
Riley has been at the game for a while, but you build up your fan base. She has hundreds of thousands of followers. Yeah. And that's where the power lies now. There are cam girls from like my...
No, but do you understand what Rogan's in like? Why is there a need to make new movies when there's plenty of other stuff that you haven't seen before?
Yeah. I think there's that hunger for the just unseen... There's the hunger for unseen girls or who's turning 18 today and who does their first anal and who's doing interracial.
Yeah.
But the business is fragmented. You know, there are high level interracial companies and you can't compete that. There's high level amateur stuff. And, they, you know, some people have 40 pages of content on their clip store. And, So I get that too, but I guess you got to draw in the paying customer who wants to support your work for what it is, or if your interpretation is different than anybody else's out there.
It is strange. I guess you're right. Like idea like this girl just turned 18 recently. I guess that's appealing.
Cameras are better. Editing things are simpler. Everyone wants, you know, like even less than 10 years ago, everything was like 1080 is the highest resolution. Now the new standard is 4K resolution. And I bet in a few years that'll leap to 6K or 8K.
Yeah.
It'll just get better and better. It's always a good time to be a fan. It's never been cheaper. So, you know, the barrier to entry is a couple $100 for a camera. But, again, how do you get your costs back? And... Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that are just true fans or they just want to share their vision. And it, you know, while the pros get more professional, the amateurs are getting more amateur, and it's a buffet out there. And you can, you know, again, have you ever been on a cruise ship?
I don't think so.
That is one thing that, again, please... Don't wait until you're 60 to go on a cruise. I went for the first time like 5 years ago, right? And you can never eat all the food. You can never sample everything. And that's the allure of having 24-hour dining.
Yeah.
If you're feeling peckish for chicken wings, there are, you know, five different kinds. There's blue cheese waiting. And that's what the internet is, you know, democratizing all the anal freaks from the foot fetish freaks from the interracial thing, and it's just nom 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 nom. I'm full.
So what's it? I remember when you were living in Southern California. You know, you there's days you didn't even plan to film something. Then some agents say, "Hey, I have this girl available tonight," and you know she comes over. You film something, which would be great for your website. On and on. So you went on literally cold turkey once you got over here. Was it hard?
Yeah, again, it's more like a mental thing. I remember not having a need to jerk off because there was somebody new was available who swallowed, and you know, you're just in the center of the porn universe and send her over, and you'd have somebody delivered to your door. I always loved girls when they're brand new in the first month in the business. The fresher, the better. And it was just this fun
enthusiasm, right?
Yeah. And then you look at the rise of these casting sites, from Backroom Casting Couch to Casting Couch X to, you know, every kind of... there's some that you'll just stumble upon. And Net Video Girls has been going on for years, but everything just gets better, and people in different places. Now Arizona's a hotbed of production. And you know,
is it because it's warm, you see girls with less clothes? Is it easier to find talent? Because I noticed that Florida, Georgia, and Phoenix, Georgia, for Atlanta, Georgia, for like a lot of strip clubs over there, and Florida, obviously, with the...
Yeah, I think you need... tons of students, so you know, a lot of universities, and you know, pornographers will just gravitate towards there. Or you need game changers like that guy out of Florida. They made that documentary Hot Girls Wanted, which I highly recommend. But you just
on
see
Netflix,
how somebody who knows how to post on Craigslist in, you know, 20 different cities, and you pay the airfare to Miami, and some girl from Texas will be, you know, within a week, into the business, she'll have done, you know, four scenes. She's made thousands of dollars. It's all upside for her.
Sure.
And, yeah.
It's always the same story. There's always scenario in every one of those kinds of documentary where one of the girl goes to her family, tells one of the family member or both of their parents, and, you know, and what do they expect? Of course, they don't like it. Or, you know, one of the first ones I saw was Annabelle Chung when she flew to Taiwan and told her mom, and she came to the conclusion, don't tell your dad, he's going to have a heart attack and die, you know. But she was surprised and she was crying about it. Like, what the fuck do you expect? You know, they're conservative Chinese people. Of course, you know, they're going to be upset. But they're never going to have a scenario where girl becomes a porn star, getting fucked in the ass, make money, and happy ending. They just won't allow that, you know.
Right.
It does happen, I'm sure. Maybe not as quite as often as we like, but...
As long as there are role models for teenage girls, like, you know, the Kardashians.
Yeah.
And, oh, so-and-so is a fashion model, and she's wearing a sheer top. I forget if it's Kendall or whatever.
She's
17 Jenner. Years old, not wearing a bra with a sheer thing. Whoa, you know. And who can wear the thong best and all that?
Yeah.
Again, just... nothing makes you feel like a creepy old man is when you just see what's mainstream.
Sure.
What messages all that is sending. So, again, all you kids, get off my lawn. But as a man, when you get older and you just think, wow, where were these girls when I was young? But that's, I think, part of the allure of what porn sold me. You know, the fantasy of the girl coming over sucking your dick. And once you do it hundreds and hundreds of times, I guess you either gotta reinvent that whole, you know, fire inside you, or you gotta do it better than the next guy.
Sure.
Because, you know, just like we're talking about the different niches, even the point of view sites saturated online. Fucking saturated with high quality, great stuff out there.
It just seems like you're constantly playing this game where you're trying to invent some new niche, something that you haven't thought about, you know. And I don't get it. Sometimes I'll be watching something like why I don't know. I guess maybe I'm at the age. I'm only like I'm barely a year younger than you, you know.
Right,
and
right.
I don't get it. Maybe it is good. I'm out of it, but. So let's say that cold turkey, you want to go other direction. Let's say that that's not an option anymore. So what will, you know, let's say you don't have any sort of legal restriction, not working or whatever in Dublin. You could work. What field ideal like would you like to go?
I have no clue. And that's what the scary thing is. Self-employment, I highly recommend it. You just got to find out a way to do it. But my dream job is to work from 12 to 1 with a lunch hour in between. I will keep looking for that type of job. And, you know, again, tap dance on the on the head of a pin and hopefully everything works out. But
you wouldn't want to work in like a tourism business in Dublin? I mean, you do like that stuff, so...
You know, again, you got to find that passion or whatever. I just, anything that involves self-employment, I'm all for.
I see.
So, you know, we'll just cross that bridge. But again, if you just take things day by day and you just say, my mission today is to go to the park with my kid, or, you know, just simplify everything.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing I've learned. What's that thing about alcoholics? You know, one is too many and a thousand ain't enough. I totally understand that because, you know, my goal was to get to 1,000 blowjobs on Load My Mouth, and now that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Because I really, it's just irrelevant. You know, even, and you realize that, okay, if there's nothing so special about what I did, well, there was lightning captured in a bottle at one time, and it's okay if it's not there anymore. But I appreciate the work of others.
Sure.
That's something you can still say. And then, you know, again, I got more into reading and just being aware of other things, current events. You follow stuff, get into movies and all, and you just fill your life with ideas and just knowing what's going on in the world. Because that's the other thing too. There's a lot of bullshit that goes down.
Yeah.
You know?
I think a lot of people don't realize, I mean, there are successful people in this business, but it really is a lot of hard work and tedious stuff that you have to deal with, and getting your shit stolen and or not getting paid. You know, it's when you start talking about the business side, it can be stressful, you know.
It's okay not to be in the limelight, but
yeah,
going, putting the limelight back on you firmly. When we were up in Belfast, you were recognized by somebody, so that's got to be fulfilling too. The way, just out of nowhere in the big cosmos, there's somebody who's a fan of your work, and it's weird to see that. You
know? That guy from Australia, I think his name was Eddie. Eddie, if I don't remember your last name, Kelly, I think.
Shout out to Eddie.
From Australia. He was a fan of the podcast I was on for like 20 to 23 episode DVDSA, but he didn't recognize me looking at me either. It was just the voice. That's right. Always strange. Yeah, it happened enough. Like, first time was 3.5-4 years ago. 3 years ago? Yeah, I was in Seattle. This guy was behind this, you know the wall partition between the dining and the restaurant? And the guy heard me. He got out on top of his seat and looked underneath and like, "Hey, are you Yoshi?" And so that is very strange. But yeah, he was very nice. It's fun to talk to them. I don't know why they were listening to the shows that I've been in, but it was a really interesting conversation. But it is very strange because it's not like TV. If you're in the TV business and movie business, you're a star, yeah, you get recognized all the time, but you know, who the fuck is me to even make a big deal out of it? But it really was fun talking to them, and
But that's the rush, you know. I've made a living with my dick, and if that is over, if I never get another payday out of it, it was satisfying for its own terms. You've made a living with your voice, and how great must that feel, is to just touch other people or to get inside people's heads and get people to think.
That's very nice of you to say that. But making a living is really like stretching it. But yeah, I miss some money here and there. But sorry, guys. I'm really spacing because I have to go to an airport soon. And we'll be done in a few minutes. This is what I want to ask you. You know, of course, time devours everything. Eventually, someday you and I will be dead. We'll cease to exist. I am very curious if I record this, save this down the road. Maybe there'll be some academic or someone in a college studying about studying culture and things like that through studying pornography. But, you know, if let's say this somebody's... I might be a little arrogant to say this, but let's say 100 years down the road, they're watching a movie and they're trying to figure out why was Brandon's movie so popular. Like, do you have any sort of input? Somebody listened 100 years down the road, like, you know,
I have no delusions on that whatsoever, because I've seen greatness and I didn't come close. It's like, you know, mountain climbers who dream of Everest, but you know, they only make it to the hill in their backyard or whatever. It's purely like an ego thing, and your own summit is wherever you set it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've already been to the mountaintop, and and that's fine. I enjoyed the view for what it is, and you know. We'll climb a different mountain.
It's the same thing I said over and over, and I know you don't want to make big deal out of it, but Chris Guy De Silva said the same thing too. But sometimes when I think about like some of the women that you've been with, like, you know, it's just like, wow. I mean, that like wow, you know. I don't know. I mean, maybe you get jaded. Maybe Rocco's jaded about it, but for a regular person, it's you know. stigma or no stigma, it is pretty impressive. And my still favorite thing about you was, I'm very happy that I got to meet you 17 years ago, AVN 1999 January. I told you, if you ever want to come to Seattle, I've offered that hundreds of people in the business. Nobody ever followed through. They always say they will come up. They never pay attention. They don't give a shit. But you're the only one who came up, and I really appreciate all the years we have breakfast and hanging out with other porn people. And you know,
oh, cool.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, and I hope nothing but the best. And you know. I don't want to say what's her name, but she's a beautiful child and healthy, and you know.
Yeah, but you know, you just touched on like the women, and everyone idolizes the women. I will say, what I'm grateful for is the places I've seen. Just to think off the top of my head,
kid from Calgary, right?
Right, born and raised in Calgary. I was paid to go to, you know, Mexico. I've seen, you know, Germany, Belgium, the Canary Islands. I went to Russia thanks to porn. I went to Minsk, Belarus, Vilnius, Lithuania. Some crazy ass places. Met some crazy people. Wild times. Belgrade, Serbia. Places that I wouldn't have seen had it not been for the business. So, you know, while some people will focus on the women, I think about the places, the cities, the exhibitions, the fair, just all that circus that comes with the business and being young, and like, you know, Jack Kerouac on the road.
Yeah,
I love being on the road. And again, if that comes to an end, or if you come to the end of Route 66.
Yeah.
And there you go. You lay your head down there and you just say, it was a fucking wild ride, and I'd recommend it to anybody if it's right for them.
I think your book should be called Route 69.
There you go.
Because, I mean, you know, I do comedy, and I like people to some extent, but I think more than anything, I think you and I are very similar in that we're both like, not necessarily people person, but place person, you know. And like, I just love going to places, and I love when you did the intense cities, you know, that I really enjoyed that. You went to 10 different cities in the world, and each city you have a girl, and you know, the one in Ottawa makes me laugh because you were explaining to whoever you took there, like, the parliament, how things work in Canada. I don't even remember if she was a Canadian, but
she was. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I think I really enjoyed that. I also enjoyed the, I think one of the last time I went to your place in the valley. I don't remember the girl's name, but she was very cute, blonde girl, but she was prototypical. Like, I don't even think she's from California, but she had this vibe like California girl, fun, sunny, like to smoke weed, and that's why, you know, maybe it is a perverted thing to say, but even if you don't have sex with them, it's really fun to hang out with young girls. There's something, they have some, if you pick the right ones, very hopeful, you know, like they still see a lot of fun and joy in life, you know, and sometimes older people don't have that. So I try to take advantage of comedy, try to laugh more, and you know, trying to see good every day, but it's hard sometimes, you know.
Well, Bowie said it best, you know, changes.
Oh, it's terrible. Rickman is dead. David Bowie's dead. And I'm missing another third person. Who's another?
Wait, did you say Lemmy from Motorhead?
Oh, that's, yeah. At least I met him. I didn't meet the other two. But yeah, it's a very sad way to start the year, because why am I forgetting Rickman's first name all of a sudden? He's in Harry Potter, and I just saw
Alan Rickman.
Yeah, I just saw Die Hard first time in a long time at the New Beverly Theater, which is owned by Quentin Tarantino, and man, he was so good in that like you were saying, baritone voice, like, it's magnetic, you know. And to see him dead, like, oh, you know, the, one of the great English actor. And anyway, Brandon, it's late. This is a short one. I'm fading. You know, I got up super early, as you remember this morning. Yeah, but thanks, man. I don't know when I'm going to see you. It's 100-year anniversary of 1916 revolt in Dublin, and I didn't have a chance to go see that. But I'd like to come back in the fall. Hope to see you then, and I'm sure you have a new story to tell me. But yeah, I'm ending my podcast. I think this episode will be last 3 or 4 episode, and I'm very grateful you did it. Probably at least half a dozen times, and people really like what you have to say.
Cheers! I appreciate you having me on. And to anyone listening, I raise a pint of Guinness and a toast to your health.
And please, if you live in Dublin, if you have a business opportunity of Brandon, or you have suggestion for him, both adult or non-adult, just he's—I got to tell you—he's the most honest person I met in adult business, and he's a great friend of mine. And he's too modest. And sometimes I feel like he was too honest for this business. But, you know, if you have some way to help Brandon or have idea, feel free to contact him. Don't scream his name on the street, you assholes. Just don't do that. Like, Staliano hated it when he walked down the street. Someone say, "Hey, Batman," really loud in front of his kid and the wife. You know, like, be very discreet. But if you can't help him, what is the best way to contact you? Facebook or Twitter account?
You know what? The bills are paid and the lights are on at BrandonIron.com, or there's Brandon Iron on Twitter, and whatever's next.
All right. Well, that's 50 minutes. What can I say? For those of you who have been listening to the show, thank you very much. I think I'm recording one with Proxy Page tomorrow. After that, I think I have 2 more episodes after that. And thanks for listening, that 3 or 4 of you out there in the world. Thanks. Please support Brandon Iron. And cheers, everyone. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Josh.